Our sermon reading comes from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, good morning. Welcome again to worship today. As we've been talking about, today is Pentecost Sunday, and Pentecost Sunday happens every year 50 days after Easter, if you count Easter Sunday itself. And again, Pentecost is a day that we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit for the very first time among the disciples and really upon the whole church itself. Now, among Lutherans, whenever the Holy Spirit is mentioned, I think there are maybe some mixed feelings. Right, on the one hand, we know the Holy Spirit is important and that the Bible talks about it again and again. In fact, every single week in our church, we say the Apostles' Creed and we say the words, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." And we know that along with God the Father and God the Son, that God the Holy Spirit completes the Trinity. And yet I would say that most of us as Christians, we don't really know what to do with the Holy Spirit. We don't know how to incorporate the Holy Spirit into our faith, into our daily lives. We know who God the Father is, right? He's our creator, the giver of all life, our sustainer. God the Father is the one we address most of our prayers to. We also know who Jesus is, of course. He's God's son. He died on the cross for us, rose from the dead. We get God, we get Jesus. We understand them. But the Holy Spirit seems to, you know, have kind of a less prominent place in our faith. I mean, take a children's Bible, for example. Go home, open up a children's Bible, and there you'll find story after story about things that God did, story after story about things that Jesus did, but very few stories centered around the Holy Spirit. Maybe one or two, probably this story from Pentecost and maybe one other. And so it's often difficult for Christians to, I think, understand the Holy Spirit's place in our faith, in our lives. And to be honest, when we do see examples of Christians taking a greater interest in the Holy Spirit, sometimes the things we see are a little weird, a little strange. For example, Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches are known for putting a much greater emphasis on the Holy Spirit, and they particularly focus on some of the spiritual gifts that the Bible talks about, healing and prophecy and speaking in tongues, and none of those things are bad. They're all biblical, but sometimes what we most often see on, say, television or the internet are the extreme examples of people, maybe you've heard of being slain in the spirit, and people falling on the ground, and they're overcome by the spirit, or people speaking in tongues and saying all sorts of things, and it just kind of sounds like gibberish to us, or every now and then you hear of some pastors on television, televangelists who fake healings to get a larger audience, get a larger gathering, and raise more money. And so because of this, I think sometimes the Holy Spirit has gotten kind of a bad rep among Christians. And we can maybe come to the conclusion that the Holy Spirit is, you know, that's maybe something for people in Bible times, but maybe not for us today. But this morning, I want to push back against that belief, that understanding. In fact, the Holy Spirit should have a very prominent place in the lives of Christians today. And so my hope today is that as we explore this story of the Holy Spirit a little more closely, and the story of the Holy Spirit first coming into the lives of the apostles and the church, we'll come to a better understanding of what place the Holy Spirit can have in our lives as well. So let's jump in again and look at this story. If you remember from last week, we looked at the story of Jesus' ascension up to heaven in Acts chapter 1. And in that ascension story, we saw Jesus' very last words to his disciples. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Right? So just think about what the disciples have experienced here. Jesus' last words to them are that they will be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And then he leaves them. And I doubt that they were really expecting that, right? They probably thought Jesus, you know, he's back now. They thought he'd be with them, leading them all the way into the mission he had for them. It'd kind of be like me asking you, "Hey, why don't you come over to my house, help me watch my 4 kids, and then as soon as you arrive, I say, 'Hey, thanks for babysitting,' and I just kind of ditch you." Maybe that's what the disciples are kind of feeling at this moment. They didn't think they'd be doing this without Jesus. And not only that, but the movement that Jesus has created, it's sort of on the rocks at the moment. Most people still think Jesus is dead. No longer are there just crowds and crowds of thousands following them. Instead, Acts 1:15 tells us there's about 120 believers left, 120 followers. That's it. And Jesus has just told them that they're to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, to bring the message of Jesus to all people. Now, maybe some of the disciples were confident in what they had to do, but you would think many of them had some doubts, had some fears. They had to be asking themselves, how are we going to do this? What have we gotten ourselves into? And you know, in many ways, we as Christians, we're maybe faced with a similar situation. We know we're called to share our faith, to reach out to others, to pass our faith on to the next generation, and ultimately to make sure that everyone in the world has the opportunity to hear about Jesus. But that's hard. And especially in a culture that is increasingly becoming non-religious, even opposed to God. And so like the disciples, the call Jesus has for us to share our faith can seem too overwhelming. I mean, when we even consider the notion of trying to reach out on our faith, I think we're quick to tell ourselves things like, you know, I couldn't do that. I'm too shy. I don't know enough about the Bible. What if I don't know the answer to a hard question? I'm just not brave enough. And here sit the disciples with many of the same fears and questions and overwhelming feelings. However, the disciples, they also remember something that Jesus told them that we too often forget. And that is that Jesus promised to send them his Holy Spirit, who would give them the power they need to be his witnesses. Again, Jesus said to them, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." In that statement, Jesus, he gives the disciples both the mission he has for them and the means to do it. The mission is to be his witnesses. The means is the Holy Spirit. And I think it's so important that we don't separate the two. This is the purpose for which God sends his Holy Spirit upon the disciples and upon us. It's to empower us for mission. It's to empower us to live out our faith. The Holy Spirit was sent for the purpose of bringing people to faith and making disciples. And I think we're on dangerous ground if we try to use the Holy Spirit for purposes outside of God's mission. If the Holy Spirit's being used for personal gain or to get attention or to fulfill your purposes, that's a problem. We can't separate the Holy Spirit from God's mission. Now let's think about what the Holy Spirit is for a minute. You know, scholars, they've spent centuries debating his attributes, his characteristics, his relationship with the Father, with the Son. But in very simple terms, the Holy Spirit it's God's very presence among us. The Holy Spirit it's God's Spirit. And it's the way that God works in our world and in our lives today. When you pray to God and you receive some sort of response, some action by God, that's the Holy Spirit working in your life. And in the book of Acts, we see many different examples of what the Holy Spirit empowers the disciples to do. The Holy Spirit gave them boldness to speak the word of God in the midst of persecution. The Holy Spirit empowered them to heal. The Holy Spirit gave them wisdom and direction. It also gave them, at times, the gift of prophecy in some situation. situations. But again, it always aligned with the mission, with the work that God was doing. So we jump back to the story. The disciples, they've been given this huge mission by God to be his witnesses. But they also know that they won't be doing it alone. And so look at verses 12 to 14. It says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. Right, so as they're waiting for the Holy Spirit, what are they doing? Right, are they kind of sitting around, doing nothing? Are they, you know, taking a quick vacation? No, they're not lost about what they have to do. Instead, we find them praying and waiting intentionally, preparing for the Holy Spirit to come and work in their lives. And then the day arrives. In Acts chapter 2, it's the day of Pentecost, and all the disciples, they're together in one place. And Pentecost was a Jewish agricultural festival celebrating, giving gratitude to God for the first fruits he had given. So they're already celebrating a different festival that day. And it gets its name Pentecost because it's 50 days, Penta, from Passover. And so here they are, about 50 days from his death and resurrection. And they're praying, they're waiting in Jerusalem because that's what Jesus told them to do. And all of a sudden something does happen. Look at verses 1 to 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Right? So think about this. For these disciples, no one came and took away this task Jesus had given them. No one came and started witnessing for them. Instead, what did happen was that the Holy Spirit filled them. Right? Just picture that now. God's presence came and filled them. And when you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the power of God working in you. And with the power of God working in you, working through you, you have, for example, courage to no longer just stay inside the walls of your church or in the walls of your home or the circle of your friends, but courage now to go outside to new places, to new relationships, to new opportunities. And this is exactly what happens to the disciples. After they're filled with the Holy Spirit, it says they'd gone outside and they were speaking about what God had done and doing it in many different languages. And so verse 5 says this, and there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it we hear each of us in our own native language? Right, so during Pentecost, this festival, Jerusalem was filled with Jews who came from all over to celebrate with them. And many of them didn't speak the native language in Jerusalem of Aramaic. But all of a sudden, they all hear someone speaking in their own language, a language they might only usually hear hundreds of miles away. And what's even stranger to them is that they realize the ones speaking are Galileans. They're not sophisticated, educated individuals from Jerusalem, but kind of country folk of Galilee. We might call them rednecks. And all these different languages, the disciples, they go on to talk about the things that God had done in Jesus. And because of this miraculous act of the Holy Spirit, and because they had heard from these disciples of what God had done through Jesus, it says later in verse 41 that 3,000 people were converted and baptized that day. They're the very first converts to Christianity. This is how the church gets its start. And of course, this is not all the disciples would do. The book of Acts is just filled with stories of the disciples preaching and serving and healing, caring, loving with great, amazing courage and boldness, strength and sacrifice. And it's all because the Holy Spirit had come into their lives, filled them, and empowered them for the mission that God gave them. Now, one of the other very important thing we have to understand today, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you too have the Holy Spirit in you. And this is what Peter tells the crowd that day as they're gathered around. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Right? That's it. It's that simple. He says, if you're baptized in Jesus Christ and believe, you too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in you. Now, we like to make it more complicated than that. So we think, you know, do I really have the Holy Spirit? Isn't that for special people who are really holy, really godly? Don't I have to do something first? Shouldn't, you know, something miraculous happen, like these tongues of fire over the disciples? But no, we're promised that if you put your faith in Christ and you're baptized in Him, you already have the Holy Spirit in you. And so now we're in the same boat as the disciples. We've been given the same mission as them and the same means to do it. And you're called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You're called to pass on your faith. And the solution for how to do it, it's already inside of us. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us the strength, the courage, the compassion we need to share the story that we've been given. However, I think the problem is we forget what we have inside us. We forget what God has given us. We forget the riches that God has made available to us. And so instead of living in God's riches, we often tend to live as if we're kind of in spiritual poverty. We forget about all the power we have, the gifts, the wisdom, the strength made available to us through the Holy Spirit. And so instead, we can sometimes live as Christians who are kind of poor, kind of weak, timid, afraid, always saying, "Oh, I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that," not remembering what we have in us. But Acts chapter 2 reminds us today of that's not who we are. Each of us has the Holy Spirit within us. And because of this, we can do great things. In our first reading, we heard this from Jesus. Jesus is talking to the disciples. He tells them, he says, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I go away, the Advocate," or the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth." Right? Think about that. Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I go away. Right? With the Holy Spirit, Jesus will tell the disciples that they'll be able to do even greater things that He did. That's the magnitude of the riches that we've been given. With the Holy Spirit, there's no limits to what God can do through us, despite our weaknesses. And this is God's great and awesome plan for us. Through the Holy Spirit, He intends to use us to carry out His mission in the world. When the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, it appeared in this tongue of fire over their heads. And in many ways, that's such a fitting way to understand the power in us. Right? There's a fire called the Holy Spirit burning inside of us. And all we have to do is let it out, give it some air, let it work. But of course, the big question that everyone always wants to know is how? Right? If the Holy Spirit is in me, how does He work through me? How do I get the same power the disciples had? And I think we like to kind of make it complicated and think there's some special things we have to do. But I think the disciples really give us the answer when we look at the story of them waiting for the Holy Spirit. Again, it says this as they're waiting. It says, all these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. Right? That's all they were doing. And so if we want the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we simply need to ask for it, to beg for it. And not just once a year, once a month, but like the disciples, it says, constantly devoting themselves to prayer. We need to be constantly going to God in prayer and saying, God, give me your Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, work in my life. Give me the courage I need to talk to this person. Give me boldness. Give me power. Give me the right words to say. Show me what neighbor I should talk to. Show me how to disciple my kids so they can do great things for you. Holy Spirit, come and take action in my life. And so it's my prayer today that we would not live as Christians who are spiritually poor or weak or timid, but as Christians who know they are rich and filled with the awesome power of the Holy Spirit.